Now let's continue on and see, will the real Moses stand up? Number two. Which is the true Moses? How did the apostles refer to Moses? How did Jesus refer to Moses, we've seen? And how did the Pharisees and the scribes refer to Moses? Well, all of their traditions they put around the law of Moses and interpreted everything that way. Now, let's come here to John 9. And I love John the 9th chapter. That's where Jesus healed the man who was born blind. And the Pharisees and scribes couldn't believe it, didn't believe his mother and father that this was the one. Other people said, well, he looked like it. And here in chapter 9, we find, let's pick it up here right in the middle of it. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 24. Let's see their response to the man who was healed. And he told him, you know, this has never been heard that a man has been born blind, made to see. Now, verse 24, after they weren't satisfied with the answer that the parents gave and so forth. Therefore, they called a second time for the man who had been born blind, said to him, give glory to God, for we know that this man is a sinner. In other words, you give glory to God the way that we tell you. Then he answered and said, notice his answer, straightforward. Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that I was blind, and now I see. So they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I've already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you desire to become his disciples? Then they railed at him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this man, we do not know where he comes from. And a man answered and said to them, this is truly an amazing thing, that you do not know where he has come from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and is doing his will, he hears him. From the beginning of the world, it has never been heard of that anyone has opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Notice their answer. You were born holy in sin, and are you teaching us? Cast him out. Okay. They got rid of him. Now, the rest of it is very interesting, too. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and he is the one who is even now speaking to you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, if he were not God, but just a man born of the Virgin Mary, then he would have told him, don't worship me. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that those who do not see might see, and those who see might become blind. And those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Isn't that interesting? How about if you take all these Sunday-keeping preachers that know the Sabbath is the day to keep and don't do it? See? They have sinned. And they know there's no forgiveness of that. Okay, now let's come to the book of Acts, and let's see how the law of Moses is used by Paul. Acts 13. Now, after he gave the sermon, it was quite a long sermon, and he explained to them all about Christ and so forth. And verse 38, let's pick it up there, Acts 13 and verse 38. Therefore, be it known to you and all these Jews in the synagogue now, teaching about Christ. Therefore, be it known to you, men and brethren, that through this man, the remission of sins is preached to you. Through this man, not your works, not your rituals, not through, even as we'll see here in just a minute, the laws of sacrifice given by God to Moses. Verse 39, and in him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So he's talking about exactly what we know the law of Moses is, not what the religious leaders of the Jews interpreted it with all of their traditions. Now notice what he tells them after that. Take heed, therefore, lest that which is spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. Now that's a nice gentle message to try and win souls, isn't it? For I work a work in your days, a work that you will in no way believe, even if one declares it to you. So he let them know. And he let them know that this was really a tremendous thing. So then, the coming Sabbath, they all came together, and after that, then the Jews got angry, stirred up the people, and chased them out of town. All right, now let's look at another one here. Let's come to Acts 24. Acts 24 and verse 14. Verse 14. And giving his defense about the problems he had up in Jerusalem and was taken down to Caesarea for the trial, he said, but I confess to you that according to the way which they call heresy, so I serve the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. And the law is the law of Moses. That's how the church and the apostles used the term law of Moses. Verse 15, having hope in God, which they themselves also acknowledge, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. And in this hope I exercise myself to have a conscience without offense toward God and men continually. And so then he explained the dilemma that he was in with that. Now let's come to chapter 26. Chapter 26. Okay. Verse 21. On account of these things, the Jews seized me in the temple and attempted to kill me. So then, having obtained help from God unto this day, I have stood bearing witness both to the small and the great, saying nothing else than what both the prophets and Moses said would happen. Again, the law and the prophets, and the law of Moses as it is understood. Now let's come to chapter 28 and verse 23. Let's see how Paul preached the gospel to the Jews. Now let's come here to verse 20. Because he called the Jews to come to these he was in prison in a house, and he could have people come to him. Verse 20. For this cause, then, I have called for you in order that I might see you and speak to you, because it is for the hope of Israel that I have this chain around me. Then they said to him, We have neither received letters concerning you from Judea, nor have any of the brethren who have arrived reported anything or spoken evil of you. Now that's interesting. I thought Peter was supposed to have been there about 18 or 20 years earlier. And wasn't he the apostle to the circumcision? And if he was the apostle to the circumcision and went to Rome, would he have not gone to the Jews and their synagogues? And he said, they've heard nothing, not even letters. Verse 22, but we would like to hear from you and to know what you think, because we are indeed very aware that this sect is everywhere spoken against. So that shows they had some knowledge of it. And obviously then, they didn't say, well, we know all about it because Peter was here. And when they appointed a day for him to speak, many came to his lodging to hear him, and he expounded to them from morning until evening, fully testifying of the kingdom of God and persuading them of the things concerning Jesus, both in the law of Moses and from the prophets, showing that he used the scriptures, just like we do. Not encased in traditions. All right. Now we come to a very difficult scripture here, Acts 15. So let's see if we can get through this. Okay. Let me check. There may be another reference or two here in... No. 15. All right. Now Paul had gone preaching the gospel of Christ, and teaching them that the Gentiles did not have to be circumcised in the flesh, teaching rather the circumcision of heart through repentance and baptism. And of course, the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees continued with the apostles, as we know, in Acts 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and even the martyrdom of Stephen in chapter 7. And we know that when Paul was still a Pharisee, he got letters from the high priest to go to Damascus to take those who were Christians and bind them and cast them in prison. And also, at the same time that Paul was out preaching and teaching from the law and the prophets and about the truth of the gospel and everything, in Jerusalem, there were many Jews who believed, professing they believed, yet kept all of the traditions. And it was hard to break them from the traditions. Now, circumcision in the flesh for Gentiles was commanded in the law of Moses. So that was an issue. That complicates the understanding of what we are talking about here, what was written in Acts 15. Now, if you have never heard the series of sermons, the Circumcision Wars, okay, so we'll see if we can get it on this CD, the Circumcision Wars, and you'll understand the problem. And just like they do in Protestantism and Catholicism, they take part of the Bible, part of the Word of God, and they apply it in a different way. Now, the scribes and Pharisees could not get over the fact that Gentiles did not have to be circumcised in the flesh. That was anathema. And so, they were sending emissaries out on their own from the circumcision party in Jerusalem. Now then, here is what they preached. Verse 1, Acts 15. Now certain men who had come down from Judea, remember when we had headquarters, certain ones would come from headquarters? They were really the bringing the straight skinny. Remember the evangelist who told us all about how the world tomorrow would be in his four-hour sermons with no break? And designated who was going to be over this country and over that one, and who would be the minister of agriculture and who would be the minister of building, etc. Okay? Never happened, all totally misapplied. So here they were coming down from Jerusalem and were teaching the brethren, saying, unless you are circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, cannot in the Greek means the impossibility of receiving salvation. This created a problem. However, for the Jews and the synagogue, without the new covenant, every proselyte had to be circumcised. And even after they were circumcised, there was an area in the synagogue where they had to be, because they couldn't mingle with the Jews, because the Jews were greater. So they had the Gentile section, and then behind that, they had the women's section. You cannot be saved. So it was getting down to the physical act of circumcision for salvation, or belief and confession of sin. Now hold your place here and come to Romans, the second chapter, and let's see what the Apostle Paul was teaching. Romans 2. And he shows that now God judges the hearts. That's what he is looking at, because you can do all kinds of physical things outwardly, but if your heart and your mind is not right before God, and if it's not converted, doesn't matter all the physical things outwardly that you do. And all of the customs of the Jews involve some sort of physical thing. Now, let's pick it up here. Chapter 2 of the book of Romans, and verse 16. In a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, then he explains what that means. Verse 17. And he talks directly to the Jews. Behold, you are called a Jew, and you rest in the law and boast in God, and know his will and approve of the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And you are persuaded that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light for those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and of the truth contained in the law. You then, who are teaching another, do you not teach yourself also? You who preach, do not steal, are you stealing? You who say, do not commit adultery, are you committing adultery? You who abhor idols, are you committing sacrilege? You boast in law, and the Jews do. We have the law of Moses, then we have our own interpretations and customs too. We have the oral traditions. Are dishonoring God through your transgressions of the law. Isn't that interesting? Notice that in the Greek, it's reflected here in the English. You who boast in law. That means all their laws. Are dishonoring God through your transgression of the law. While boasting in God. For through you the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, exactly as it is written. So then he makes it clear what is required for salvation. Verse 25. For on the one hand, circumcision profits if you're observing the law. On the other hand, if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcised is keeping the requirements of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned for circumcision, because he's doing it from the heart? And shall not the uncircumcised, who by nature is fulfilling the law, judge you, who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Now, that's why the Jews hated Paul. I mean, these are fighting words. And I often think, boy, I wonder what it would have been like if those Jews who were hunting down Paul had a helicopter. They had plenty out there ready to get him. Now notice what he says here, verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is external in the flesh. Rather, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Then we know in Colossians 2, he talks about that circumcision of the heart is done through repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. So here come these Judaizers from Jerusalem, changing what Jesus taught, saying, unless you are circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, after a great deal of strife and arguing with them by Paul and Barnabas, the brethren appointed Paul and Barnabas and certain ones from among them to go up to the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem about this question. So then, after being sent on their way, verse 3, the brethren received them. When they came to Jerusalem, verse 4, they were welcome. Now, here comes very important verse, verse 5. But there stood up certain of those who believed, who were of the sect of the Pharisees. Okay? Acts 15, verse 5. Back to Acts 15. Forgot to tell you, go back to Acts 15. Go back to Acts 15, verse 5. But there stood up certain of those who believed, who were of the sect of the Pharisees. Now, how did they believe? They wanted to believe and keep all the customs and their traditions, saying, it is obligatory, mandatory, to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, what did they mean by keep the law of Moses? Meaning all of their traditions included. Because nowhere did God do away with any of his laws. Now, I've got a footnote down there at the bottom of the page in the Bible which explains about it. Now, let's go on, because this is a very difficult section of Scripture to understand because of that. Because the average Protestant will read that and say, see, we don't need to keep the law of Moses. All right. Who does the Sabbath day belong to? Moses or God? Belongs to God. The holy days. Who does that belong to? Men or God? Belongs to God. So for them to say, keep the law of Moses, we'll see something else as we go through here, because this becomes very difficult to understand. Back then, when this was written, it was understood. But they turn there and say, all right, if you don't have to keep the law of Moses anymore, it doesn't matter which day you worship on. Okay. So this is a very important chapter to go through. Then the apostles and the elders, verse 6 now, gathered together to see about this matter. And after much discussion had taken place, Peter stood up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that from the early days God made the choice among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. All right, go back to Acts chapter 10. What was a law of the Jews? All right, verse 28. Let's read it here. Acts 10, verse 28. And here is where God was showing this law of separation by the Jews was not right. Acts 10, verse 28. After he came, Cornelius received him, and he said to them, you know that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew. Now, you can't find this law in the law of Moses. So whose law was this? The tradition of the Jews, their oral law, which they said was the law of Moses. You know that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to associate with or come near to anyone of another race. And to this day, the heart and core of the teachings of Judaism is just as racist as this. But God has shown me that no man should be called common or unclean. Then he said, this is why I came. Now, as he was preaching to them and speaking to them, let's see what happened here, right toward the end of it, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all those who were listening to the message. And all of them knew this. Now, were Italians occupying Palestine circumcised or uncircumcised? Uncircumcised. That's why they were unclean in the eyes of one who practiced Judaism. So this is a law of Judaism. So God is showing here clearly, he gives the Holy Spirit according to the repentance of the heart, right? According to the belief and faith. And in order to convince the Jews that he was doing this, God sent Peter, because he was the leading apostle for a time, and he preached to the Gentiles first. The Holy Spirit came upon all those who were listening to the message. And the believers from the circumcision were astonished. As many had come with Peter, that upon the Gentiles the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. For they heard them speak in other languages and magnifying God. Then Peter responded by saying, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have also received the Holy Spirit as we did? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they besought him to remain for a number of days. So he probably stayed with them for a week. An unheard of thing for one who's a Jew. So here we have circumcision of the heart, correct? Repentance and receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, even the Jews, when they heard about this, down here, chapter 11 and verse 13, when Peter came back, those of the circumcision, verse 2, disputed with him, saying, you went into men who were uncircumcised and did eat with them. Now, I want you to think about Galatians 2 and what happened there. Remember what happened there later? Way after this time, Peter knew better. Way after Acts 15, right? Yes. So he related the whole thing, and then they agreed that God gave the Holy Spirit to them, but they did not agree concerning their traditions. Now back to Acts 15 again. So let's see if we can understand everything and pretty well wrap this up with the number two on will the real Moses stand up. And then we can conclude the real Moses is what? The writings we have in the Bible today, not the traditions of the Jews. Okay. Now verse 8, as Peter is explaining here, and God who knows the heart bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us, and made no difference between us and them, and has purified their hearts through faith. Now therefore, why do you tempt God by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That means, that statement right there clarifies and means all the traditions of the Jews of Judaism as they understood them, because nowhere at any time were the laws of God ever a yoke of bondage. They were to free people from sin by walking into laws of God, even in the letter of the law. Never was the law of God a bondage. So that clarifies it right there. But to the Protestants, oh yes, yes, it's a yoke of bondage. Well, when you live lawless and you have nothing to keep, any law is bondage, right? But they believe in Sunday. Why is that night a bondage? How can Sunday be no bondage and the Sabbath be bondage? Well, I can't go shopping on Saturday anymore and get all those good deals. I can't go to the football game or the baseball game, okay? Verse 11, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we believe we shall be saved in the same manner as they also. Then all the multitude kept silence and heard Barnabas and Paul relate what signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. After they were silent, James, who was the brother of Jesus, and this is why, now I'll just say right here, Acts 15 shows that the epistle of James was written quite a few years before Acts 15. And Acts 15 is almost universally known to be 49 A.D. So that's why in the chronology when James was written, I have it about 41 or 42 A.D., and the reason being is when you read the Epistle of James, there is not one mention of Gentiles, and he talks about the Jews who believed went to synagogue. Now, you can't read that in the King James. It says in your assembly. But the Greek there is synagoge, which is synagogue. So this was way before what James gave here. All right, let's go on. Verse 13. And after they were silent, James answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take a people out for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, as it is written, after these things I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and its ruins, and I will build it again and set it up, so that the residue of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who does all these things. Verse 18, known to God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Therefore, my judgment is that we do not trouble those of the Gentiles who have turned to God, but that we write to them, abstain from pollutions of idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. Now, are all of those in the law of Moses? Yes, indeed, every single one of them. So he's upholding the law of Moses as God gave it to Moses to write. Now we'll notice something else here, showing that he upheld the law of Moses according to the way it is in the Bible and not according to the way that the Pharisees interpreted it. Verse 21, for from the generations of old, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him in the synagogues being read every Sabbath day. So there we have quite a bit altogether, don't we? Moses and the Sabbath day, showing that the Gentiles were keeping those things. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders, together with the whole church, to send chosen men from among them and to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, etc. And then they wrote letters and they verified what was being said there. Let's come down here to verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no further burden upon you than these necessary things, that to abstain from things sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you do well. Farewell. So those were the major public sins that were in the Gentile nations that they had to emphasize. Nowhere does it say you don't have to keep the Sabbath. Nowhere does it say you don't have to keep the holy days. Nowhere does it say that you don't have to follow the law of clean and unclean meats. That doesn't mean, because they're not spoken of here, that they are excluded. They're all included, but the necessary things that were the common sins of the day, they emphasized. You must pay special attention to this to not do it, all right? We could also do the same thing today. What are special sins to stay away from today? And we could list a whole lot of things, couldn't we? So, when the Pharisees speak of the law of Moses, they don't speak of the law of Moses according to the written law of Moses in the Bible, but their interpretation of the written law of Moses and all of their traditions. Now, we'll see that again, because I need to do a little bit more, so we can cover Galatians 2 and 3. I know we've covered it before, but those two chapters are some of the most difficult in the Bible, and we need to go over them so we can really understand what it's saying. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.